Man, the games, they kick off at 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how that would be. I think that'd be tough, considering that I generally like to be in church on Sunday mornings and have lunch before football begins. I know you don't have that option on the West Coast unless you're going to watch tape delay. So you guys start a lot earlier. And yeah, I think I'm impressed by the fact that you were able to manage that, because I'm not sure I am. So we've got games all day long, and then we get back to this point where we take a deep breath and we decide, all right, let's dive in. What's the biggest storyline of the day? What's the biggest surprise? Do we have some crazy storylines that are worth breaking down? And mostly just trying to find answers to the questions that we had to start the season. And of course, keeping track of who is still undefeated and who is still winless. And those numbers will dwindle. The longer we go, the deeper we go into the season, those numbers will dwindle. But I can certainly say there were some eyebrow-raising results week three, Sunday in the NFL. And we still have a couple games to come on Monday night. For whatever reason, I actually don't know the reason. I don't really care to know the reason, but if you know it and you want to share it with me, you certainly can. There is a doubleheader in week three instead of in week one on Monday night. The last couple years, it's been a doubleheader in the opening weekend. And this time, it's in week three. Great. Fun. Let's go. So the football begins on Monday at 4:30. P.M. Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern time. Here's just one stunner from Sunday in the NFL. Not only did the Panthers win their first game, after benching their second-year QB, the former number one overall pick, not only did Dave Canales and his Panthers go cross-country to Las Vegas to get their first win of 2024, not only did Andy Dalton look like the guy who started out in the league in a Kansas City Bengals jersey, who used to routinely put up three touchdown performances and shuck and duck the ball all over the field. Not only did he do that in what you could say is a throwback performance for the guy they did call the Red Rifle on the broadcast. I heard it. 319 yards, three touchdowns. Not far off from a near perfect performance for Andy. So not only does all this happen in the Panthers earning their first win, but get this, no team in the NFL scored more points than the Panthers did on Sunday. What? No, seriously. How is that possible? Even going back to Thursday, the Jets had 24 points. The winners on Sunday, 21, 30, Packers had 30 points, Vikings had 34 points, Broncos had 26, Ravens had 28, Rams had 27, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs had 22. No team in the NFL in week three has scored more points than the Carolina Panthers with Andy Dalton as their quarterback. Uh-huh. When you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face. And I'm wondering how many people are still alive on Survivor Islands. There's an archipelago, actually. I'm pretty sure, I didn't want to ask him because I didn't want him to feel bad, but I'm pretty sure my husband is done because I think he picked the Raiders over the Panthers. And I even said to him, kind of softly, mildly, not telling you what to do with your NFL picks, but there's a real good chance that Dalton's going to come out with a great game. I don't trust the Raiders' defense. I think the team could be rejuvenated by the move from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton, a veteran presence who knows what's happening out there. I kind of said that. I don't think I put that much emphasis into it, but Turns out every now and then the blind squirrel who covers the NFL finds a nut. So I'm not at all surprised by the fact that they won, but the fact that the Panthers had more points in the NFL so far in week three, and we'll see. Can the Jaguars, Bills, Commanders, or Bengals, not all those teams, can one of those teams go over 36 points? Well, there's a real good chance of that. But so far, leader in the clubhouse, the Panthers with 36.
It's a stunner. I can't get over it. It's a total stunner.
It is a bit of a stunner. And if you want a couple of other news and notes, I don't know if we'd call them nerd alerts. Not yet, but we'll get to them, of course, because you know I love them. The Vikings are 3-0. Handy blowout of the Houston Texans. Sam Darnold has had multiple passing touchdowns in three straight games for the first time in his career. Something to be said for coaching, no? Something to be said for being in the right situation. Something to be said for having the right people around you. And something to be said for not being thrown into the fire before you are ready. I don't think Sam Darnold was ready. We saw flashes of what he could do with the Jets, but he wasn't ready. And the Panthers had nothing around him or Baker Mayfield except for constant change. And constant change in sports equals constant losing. Now you put Sam Darnold in a more stable situation. Of course, he was there in San Francisco too. So he had a good year of coaching. Solid leadership, solid system. Coaches committed to doing things the right way and a winning culture, obviously. You throw Sam into that for a year and it's like a reset button. And now with Minnesota, did you see who was tweeting about Sam Darnold with his instant analysis right in the middle of the game? Ha! I will retweet. You can go check it out. Sam Darnold is good at football. This was during the game, but you have to check it out. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, that's our Facebook page and our phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. If you're keeping score at home, there are four teams that moved to 3-0. And the Bills are still undefeated as well. So if the Bills beat the Jaguars, if the Bills beat the Jaguars in Orchard Park on Monday, they will move to 3-0 as well. So right now, Steelers and Chiefs, the Super Bowl champions, they eke out another win. I kind of think they like to ratchet up the degree of difficulty. And then the Vikings, we just talked about with Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Naylor. Oh my gosh, Aaron Jones has been a terrific addition to that Vikings offense. And the defense, teeth. It's got teeth. Like to bear its teeth. You know why? Brian Flores. In the NFC, along with the Vikings, the Seahawks are 3-0. We could almost put a poll up. Who's the most surprising 3-0 team? And as much as people love the Steelers and they have a winning culture with Mike Tomlin, fact is they were supposed to have one quarterback until about 5 minutes before the season kicked off. And then they shifted to another pivot. Oh, on the 30th anniversary of the Friends pilot. It's all over the place right now in pop culture. So when the Steelers are forced to pivot, they go through the first two games of the year without scoring more than a touchdown. They had won one touchdown through the first two wins of the year. So how about that, producer Pete? A poll up asking the most surprising 3-0 team. And you have to say 3-0 because obviously the Bills are still undefeated. We're going to get to the teams that lost those perfect marks coming up in this week three NFL Sunday night after hours with Amy Lawrence. But some observations about the division races. I find these fascinating. In the West, the Seahawks are 3-0. Every other team in the NFC West is 1-2. How about that? Rams, with all kinds of heart in their comeback against the 49ers. The Niners just kind of took their foot off the gas. Didn't look like much of a sense of urgency. Yeah, there were some undisciplined moments. I'll give you that. But you cannot blame the offense for that loss. Could they have held the ball a little longer late in the game? Sure. But twice in the second half, the Niners had a double-digit lead. And that includes midway through the fourth quarter. You cannot blame Brock Purdy, who didn't throw an interception. You can't blame the lack of CMC and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle for the Rams' comeback. None of those guys would have been on the field when Matthew Stafford chucked a ball 50 yards down behind the defense to Tutu Atwell in the final couple minutes. Cardinals, Rams, Niners, all 1-2. Seahawks 3-0. Wow. In the NFC North, shaping up to be a better division than what maybe a lot of people expected. Vikings 3-0, the Lions and Packers both 2-1. The Bears are 1-2, and it was a rough day for the Bears against that Colts defense. Caleb Williams still getting rudely welcomed to the NFL. In the AFC South, at least another team besides the Texans finally has a win. That's the Colts over the Bears. So the Texans are at 2-1. The Colts are 1-2. Jacksonville can get its first win on Monday night. Otherwise, it'll be in the depths like the Titans. Will Levis, it's a good thing he changed his phone number. In the AFC North, where it's also expected to be one of the toughest divisions in football, the Steelers are 3-0, Ravens and Browns, who looked rough. Except for the opening sequence, the Browns looked terrific starting out against the Giants, but it all went horribly wrong after that. If your first snap is the high point, that's a problem. The Ravens and the Browns are 1-2. So Baltimore holds off Dallas for its first win. And the Bengals, they can get their first win on Monday night. So that would be kind of weird, right? Symmetrical, if you will. The AFC North and the NFC West could both be 3-0 at the top. And then every other team 1-2. It is odd. And the Dolphins. It goes from bad to worse offensively. Of course, wanting Tua to get healthy, he's the key. He led the league in passing yards a year ago. But without him, and then without Skylar Thompson, Skylar gets knocked out in the third quarter, early in the third quarter, after a respectable start. I mean, they weren't scoring a lot of points, but at least he wasn't turning the ball over a ton. I'm trying to find the high note. He was 13 for 19 when he got knocked out. The Dolphins did almost nothing against the Seahawks. By the time they lost Skylar Thompson, all they had left was Tim Boyle. And I'm wondering if they're going to look for another QB, considering that Tua is out at least a month and it could be longer. I feel terrible for the Dolphins. There's so much potential there. But you know what? The rest of the NFL does not feel terrible for the Dolphins. Feels terrible for Tua, I'm sure. But he's out. What are you going to do? Anybody feeling sorry for the Green Bay Packers? That they don't have Jordan Love? Nah. And speaking of that, Malik Willis, a little sweet vindication in Nashville against the team that drafted him and then decided to move on from him. So great stuff out there. Who is the most surprising 3-0 team? Love to hear from you at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. I do a bunch of tweeting during NFL Sundays, not so much for your benefit, but for mine. So I can remember some of the things I was thinking and feeling in those moments as the games are playing out. But Vikings and Steelers, the first to reach 3-0. The Seahawks join them at 3-0. And then the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. And we will talk Super Bowl champs and Falcons. Do you know what I heard on the broadcast? This is funny, actually. But It's true. I was listening to first Chiefs broadcast of Sunday Night Football with Mitch Holtis. And then I was listening to Westwood One with Ryan Radke and my friend Mike Golick. And one of them said, pretty sure it was Mike Golick who said, you want to keep the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hands late. And I thought, since when? Except that because he's a veteran quarterback, he's built up a fair resume of fourth quarter comebacks. And last Monday night was a great example. I thought for a second there, we might get another Kirk Cousins primetime rally to give those Falcons another huge win. This one at home. Alas, the Chiefs had other plans. Man, they love to play the role of spoiler, crushing hopes and dreams. So we'll get to the Chiefs and the Falcons on Sunday Night Football coming up next. Our friend Cody Tapp of Kansas City, it's 96.5. Oh, it's the Fan. I should always go with the Fan, regardless of what station it is around the country. If it's a sports station, 50% of them are named the Fan.
Good rule of thumb.
96.5, the Fan. Cody will join us at the top of next hour after watching the Chiefs and also watching the Royals. I would say let's focus on the Chiefs if we're Kansas City sports fans. We're not going to get to a lot of baseball tonight or even the WNBA playoffs, though the fever did fall to the Connecticut Sun. Mom told me they couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. Okay, that was game number one of a three-game series. And just as a side note, again, we're not going to talk about much except for the NFL on the show. Shohei Ohtani is now up to 53 home runs and 55 stolen bases with six games left in the regular season. The man is on a different planet right now. He went 4-for-5 on Sunday. The Dodgers are honing in on that potential best record in the National League. But what he's doing, you want to talk about stunning. Not because he doesn't have the talent, but just because here we are in these final couple weeks and he is all gas, no brakes. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You've been on the sideline. He'll check in. Piron checks in for Steele. Third down and three. Ball is at the 13. It's on the far side right hash. Chiefs will go with trips left. Kelce single man right. Piron, the running back, to Mahomes right side. Rice in short motion from the left. Here's the snap. Mahomes back. Looks left. Throws left. Caught by Rice. Turns it up across the five. Running inside the pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City. First and goal from the one. Cousins will line up under center. He's got a full house backfield behind him. Robinson and Algier both back there. Single wide receiver left. Here's the snap. Handoff Robinson running left. Gets low. Powering his way toward the goal line. And in. Touchdown Atlanta. Nick Bolton made contact with Bijan Robinson. But Robinson is able to get low and drive his way into the end zone. That's his first rushing touchdown of the year, and the Falcons have taken a 13-7 lead with the extra point try coming up.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Very impressive start for the Atlanta Falcons, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, and they start out with a 70-yard drive. Under 4 minutes, let's go. Kirk Cousins picking up right where he left off with Drake London, right? So able to get that 14-yard touchdown in there before 5 minutes had gone by in this game. The calls with Ryan Radke on the Westwood One radio network. For those of you who are big Falcons fans or Eagles fans, well, you remember that Drake London is the one that hauled in the touchdown with 34 seconds to go as the Falcons stunned the Eagles in Philadelphia last weekend, Monday night. Kirk Cousins 5-of-6 on that drive, and they were able to get downfield in just over a minute. Well, this looked a lot like that same efficiency and rhythm. And then the defense, after giving up 75 yards, in 17 plays, working its rear ends off over 8 minutes, pick off Patrick Mahomes in the end zone. It's not something that I think I'll ever get used to, seeing Patrick Mahomes play poorly or make poor decisions. But early on this year, we've seen him a little off. So coming up top of the hour, we'll head to Kansas City. We'll ask Cody Tapp from 96.5 The Fan what he sees with Patrick Mahomes, because he's definitely not locked in yet. And maybe it has to do with there's different parts around him. They do recover, though, and the Chiefs are able to take their next possession, go 6 minutes, 13 plays, and march 80 yards. Mahomes to his favorite target, at least early in the season, Rashee Rice. And Rashee had another huge game, a dozen catches, 110 yards, and a score. But the Falcons take the lead, and they're able to get the quick hits, the quick punches. Cousins goes, I almost said Kirk, and I was going to say Cousins, and so it came out Curzons. This is what I do here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The big blow on their next drive is that Cousins goes 50 yards to Kyle Pitts, and right there on the 1 yard line, all that's left is for Bijan Robinson.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To get into the end zone. It was 14-13. Atlanta at the break. So the Chiefs able to grab a couple of field goals, including one after a Kirk Cousins interception. So points off turnovers, always helpful. And then on another drive to start the third quarter, the Chiefs get a field goal from Harrison Butker. I get that he's automatic, but to me that screams of missed opportunities. They were 2-for-4 in the red zone. Not terrible, 50%, but still among the lowest conversion rates in the NFL through these first 3 weeks of the regular season. And with the Chiefs, it seems like blowing other teams out is just not part of their playbook. Though second drive, able to get downfield with a different target for Patrick Mahomes.
Third down and 7. They moved it back to the 13. Mahomes in the gun, 2 receivers left, 2 to the right. Piron is the running back to Mahomes' right. Here's the snap. Mahomes back to pass. Mahomes looking. Throws left side. Caught by Smith-Schuster. Turns it up. Diving into the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes finds Juju Smith-Schuster. That is the first touchdown of the year for Smith-Schuster. It's just his second catch of the year. And the Kansas City lead is 22-14 with 1:16 to go in the third quarter.
Once again, Ryan Radke on Westwood One. The Chiefs able to take that 22-14 lead. Weirdly enough, Butker, who can hit every field goal, misses the point after. And the Falcons, they also have opportunities. Final 3 possessions. They're able to get a field goal and bring them within 5. But after forcing a 3-and-out, they have the ball for 7 minutes. get all the way down inside the 6-yard line. Cannot come up with the touchdown pass. And Cousins tried multiple times to Pitts, to London. Interestingly, too, chose not to take the field goal there, which is probably a question that was asked of Raheem Morris after the game. Of course, they were going to need a touchdown to take the lead or a pair of field goals. So if you take the points there, you're down 22-20 and you have more options on your final possession. And yeah, the defense for the Falcons forces another 3-and-out. So the final two possessions, like legit possessions for the Chiefs, each one of them lasts about 90 seconds. So the Chiefs' defense is tired. They're out there for long stretches of time. The offense isn't doing much after those early stages of the third quarter. And Kirk Cousins is right back on the field with the ball in his hands. At a short field this time, too. He's able to get a defensive pass interference call, as well as a couple of completions for first downs. And once again, they're inside the red zone. And this is always the test, it seems like, for the Chiefs defense. Again, very rarely, even going back to late last season, are we seeing the Chiefs blow teams out. It's not that same margin for error. Instead, more and more, it seems like it comes down to the Chiefs defense with the game hanging in the balance.
The ball right now is in between the 12 and the 13. The marker is right at the 12. Fourth down and a half yard. Robinson and Algier in the game. Split backfield behind Cousins. Cousins goes under center. Cousins takes the snap. Hand off Robinson. Sweeping left into the backfield, and he is stopped. Robinson gets knocked down at the 16, and the Chiefs will take over with 51 seconds to go. Kansas City turns away Atlanta on fourth and a half yard.
I was proud of our defense and how they stepped up that in that third and fourth quarter, the second half, and really I thought did a nice job. Chimari had a big game for us with 10 tackles and an interception there.
Andy Reid on his defense giving up just 3 points in the second half to those Falcons who had multiple opportunities. 8 red zone plays on the final 2 drives for Atlanta to come away with 0 points. That's the Chiefs defense. Bend, but don't break. Bend a lot, but just don't break. Preserving yet another win. And Chimari Connor, the name we've talked about a lot in the first 3 weeks, had the interception late in the second quarter, and Reid points to his work as a tackler. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, even Raheem Morris, who loves the defense, was talking about the Chiefs.
Nice job of sending some solid zeros, being able to get us some pressures and things of that nature. They just did a nice job. You got to give Spags a lot of credit for what he's able to do, able to force the issue, trying to make you pass the ball, not allow you to run. Didn't let Bijan and Algier get going.
I was really proud of the way our defense held up in the second half and kept getting us the ball back, giving us opportunities. And, you know, there's just plenty I can point to that wasn't good enough to win this game tonight.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins and Raheem Morris saying the same thing. Yes, the Chiefs defense did a great job, but we were 2-for-9 on third down. We had 8 red zone plays in the final 2 drives of the game and couldn't come away with any points. As for Patrick Mahomes, 26 of 39, couple of touchdowns, and also the early interception in the red zone.
I feel like I haven't played very well, and that's not a stats thing. I just feel like I'm missing opportunities whenever they're out there and not throwing the ball in the exact spot I want it to be at. So it's about me getting back to my fundamentals, putting our guys in the right position, and then we got to execute at a higher level offensively.
So for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they're still working it out on offense, and this is not unlike what we've seen from them the last couple of years, and I think in large part because they've had changing personnel. Yes, Rashee Rice is there, and he's become the top target for Mahomes. And what about Travis Kelce? He had 4 catches tonight. I don't want to say he's irrelevant because that's not fair, anytime he's on the field, defenses have to game plan for him, and maybe that's it. But he's not been a massive factor in the Chiefs' wins so far. And their three wins to start the season, combined, they've won all three games by 13 points total. So they don't give themselves much margin for error. But why so confident in those games, right? I think it has a lot to do with the experience of the last 5 years. Producer Pete put up a post on our show Twix. Chose to go sans poll. I thought it was perfect, Pete. There are 4-3-0 teams. But he's just giving you a wide open question. Open-ended.
I want some people talking about it a little more rather than just hitting
taking the easy route.
That's right.
Who is the most surprising 3-0 team? On our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I'll throw it up on our Facebook page as well. And we can retweet some of your answers from our show account. I know many of you appreciate the thread when you can communicate with others. Respectfully, I hope. Not always, though. It's social media. All right, coming up. Ravens and Cowboys. One of these teams was going to get a desperately needed win. Our pledge to you on a Sunday night, we get to every single game. You got it. We got it for you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. The Chiefs had a 5-point lead over the Falcons late in the fourth quarter, but the Falcons were driving.
The ball right now is in between the 12 and the 13. The marker is right at the 12. Fourth down and a half yard. Robinson and Algier in the game. Split backfield behind Cousins. Cousins goes under center. Cousins takes the snap. Hand off Robinson, sweeping left, and in the backfield, and he is stopped.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. The Chiefs beat the Falcons 22-17. Patrick Mahomes threw for 217 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Elsewhere on the Week 3 scoreboard, Rams over the Niners 27-24 on Joshua Cardy's 37-yard field goal with 2 seconds to go. Other games, Ravens 28, Cowboys 25, Panthers 36, Raiders 22, Seahawks over the Dolphins 24-3, Lions 20, Cardinals 13, the Packers beat the Titans 30-14, Broncos 26, Bucks 7, Steelers double up the Chargers 20-10, Giants 21, Browns 15, the Colts over the Bears 21-16, Sam Darnold 4 touchdown passes, Vikings over the Texans 34-7, and Saquon Barkley rushed for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns, Eagles over the Saints 15-12. Baseball, Mets over the Phillies 2-1. The Red Sox sweep the Twins 8-1 and 9-3. Padres 4, White Sox 2. Dodgers beat the Rockies 6-5. Shohei Ohtani with his 53rd home run. Cardinals over the Guardians 2-1. Cubs 5, Nationals nothing. Rangers 6, Mariners 5. The Yankees beat the A's 7-4. Aaron Judge home run number 55. Giants beat the Royals 2-0. Brewers 10, Diamondbacks 9. Angels over the Astros 9-8. Rays 4, Blue Jays 3. The Pirates beat the Reds 2-0. The Reds fired manager David Bell. Tigers over the Orioles 4-3. The Braves over the Marlins 5-4. WNBA playoffs, Aces 78, Storm 67. The Lynx over the Mercury 102-95. Sun 93, Fever 69. The Liberty beat the Dream 83-69. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Isaiah Likely to the left. Justice Hill in the backfield. Lamar in the shotgun. He takes the snap. Drifting to the right. Lobs to the end zone. Touchdown Ravens! Rashad Bateman wide open. And the Ravens extend the lead.
Bateman was going. He was running a deep over route. He saw two defenders over there. He puts his foot in the ground. Comes back to the middle of the field. Lamar finds him. Easy throwing catch.
Collie Kohler, the tight end to the right. Isaiah Likely, the tight end to the left. The give to Derrick Henry, running right at the middle. He's got a hold. He's to the 15. Henry to the 10. The 5. Touchdown, Ravens! The train is rolling, and the King scores again!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens Radio Network. He had a lot of offense to call early for the Ravens, including a resurgent game for one Derrick Henry. In case you were wondering if Derrick Henry still got it, at 30 years old, a running back who was featured in your choice for the After Hours Game of the Week. Thank you for voting in the poll on both of our social media sites. This was your overwhelming choice, and a nationally televised game it was, with Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady, who I think you can tell is a lot more comfortable now than he was in the first week for a real game. I know he'd done some preseason work, but not quite the same as when it's the bright lights in the big city. And he knows that, of course, because he spent years in this routine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 151 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Derrick Henry machine. And did you see the stiff arm is back? Or I shouldn't say it's back. I should say it's still very much a thing. The Derrick Henry stiff arm, he still got it. So between Derrick running for 151 and Lamar running for 87 yards, not to mention throwing for nearly 200, Justice Hill getting into the action, this Dallas defense gave up, are you ready for this, 274 yards rushing. That is insane. 45 carries versus only 15 passing attempts. That was the balance for the Ravens defense. Baltimore knew once we establish the run, we cannot be stopped. 45 carries, just 15 passes. 274 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns against that Dallas defense. And I tweeted this early in the game. The Cowboys were getting embarrassed on defense. I know Micah Parsons said last week the effort just wasn't there. Well, what was this? These are a lot of the same guys that we've seen for Dallas the last couple years. Not all of them, but a lot of the same guys. Trayvon Diggs is back. DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons. I mean, you've got guys there that are veterans. Again, I know it's not exactly the same, and they're missing Dan Quinn. But this was humiliating at home. Again, what is it about Dallas and home games now? 3 consecutive home games. If you go back to the Packers in the divisional round, or excuse me, the wild card round of the playoffs last year, embarrassing. The defense right now is just rough. And after winning, what was it, 16 straight regular season home games, I believe, they're now 0-2 starting the season. And lest you see the final score, 28-25, and think, all right, great. Nope. Think again. Sure. They had put themselves in a major hole. And yes, they did come back. But when Baltimore can deliver the early nail in the coffin in the third quarter on a 5-play scoring drive, it's too little too late. And it's really impressive, too, because the Ravens actually had this one particular touchdown drive that was all run plays. That's it. All run plays. That was when Derrick Henry did the most damage. It was really not until the fourth quarter when Dak Prescott was able to lock in.
The Ravens face a 2nd and 9. The ball is at their 30.
All right, 3rd and 10. Prescott's in an empty gun. 2 receivers each way. Snap is back. 4-man rush looking in the end zone. Deep on the backside of the end zone. And it's Kirpin. Touchdown.
All right, now it's just take your extra point. You close it to 7.
Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network. Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg. So 3 touchdown drives in a row for the Cowboys around an onside kick, which is a lot of fun to see. But then a 3-and-out finally for that Dallas defense. But at this point, you know, the Ravens are doing the best they can to run out the clock. And as much as if you have Dak Prescott on as your fantasy QB, and you are feeling good because you started him and he ended up getting you 379 yards and a couple of touchdowns plus a rushing touchdown, well, okay. Maybe you're feeling good about your fantasy matchup. But for the Cowboys to watch, well, to watch the not only the number of easy runs that the Ravens seem to have, but also to watch the way that the Ravens were able to work their game plan to perfection, I think it's demoralizing. And I know the Cowboys' offense didn't do its job either. CeeDee Lamb got stripped in the red zone after a catch early in the second quarter. They were only able to get another field goal, really, for the rest of that half. And so the offense bears some responsibility as well. But that's what it felt like, this demoralizing defensive performance, so that you are already in the hole. And in order to climb out, it takes pretty much all of your effort and a lot of time. And yeah, once the Ravens got the ball in their hands in the final couple minutes, they didn't want to give it back.
The Ravens face a 2nd and 9. The ball is at their 35, moving from our right to left. If the Ravens get a first down, this game is over. Dallas has no timeouts left. If the Ravens are forced to punt, Dallas would have about 25 seconds to work with. It's up to the offense to close this out. Lamar fakes the jet sweep, keeps it on the quarterback read option, and he's out to the 45-yard line. Let's see the exact spot. First down, Ravens, and with 1:48 in Dallas left to play for the first time in 2024, the Hayes in the barn.
You got to win these games to get to the playoffs, man. Win these playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, but it starts with the games that's in front of us, so the 0-2 start, we didn't want that to happen. You know, it's obviously as the football league, everyone's good. We can't look at no opponent and think we can go in there and just roll them over like this high school or something or college, and we plan on playing walk-on guys.
So Baltimore ends up with a pair of first downs to run out the clock, not just the run by Lamar, but also a perfect pass on 3rd and 6 to Zay Flowers, and they're able to grab their first win of the year. As for the Cowboys, yeah, way too little too late.
They started faster than we did. 6 point at halftime. I know as a offensive play caller, I was frustrated. You know, there's a couple of calls I wish I definitely would have had back. But you got to love the fight and the effort. But our execution is we need to be better. And when I sit up here and talk about all the work we need to do, those are the things I'm referring to.
It's a game that we've got to go score 30 in. We know it. We didn't do it. Started late. That's the biggest part of it. The penalties, some errors, I guess you can say, whether it be alignment, whether it be assignment, we've got to be cleaner.
Dak Prescott goes 28 of 51, but to hear him say the penalties, the missed assignments, we got to be cleaner. He has some gaudy numbers, but ultimately the Cowboys fall to 1-2, and they've dropped 2 games at home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.